Praise God. I'm really excited about what God is doing in our church. Anybody else? And I promised you, and I'm a man that keeps my promises, and that I would take you through a really important series on finance, which will have to do with God, life, and finance, and how those three interact. And we are excited about that. But we've got a guest next week, which is going to be great. I want you to bring your friends. We're going to really... Dan's a good preacher as well. He's a minister of God. I've known Dan for about 13, 14 years. And they're pastoring a good, strong church in Switzerland, in Zurich. But his real strength is the area of worship. He writes songs. He's pretty well known, actually, in Switzerland with regard to worship leading and that whole area. And so we're looking forward to that. And I didn't want to... Actually, I could have done the finance and then picked it up from there. But I really felt this week in praying to bring something else to you that's really important in this really formative time of our church life. And so this is going to be better simply because this is what the word of the Lord is for us today. Are you ready for that? And I'm going to talk about the church and our church. And I'm going to unpack some things with regard to what the church is, why it's important, and that how that plays into our church. And I'm doing that for a number of reasons. One is that I feel like I'm called to do that. I feel like part of my calling is to bring understanding of what the church actually is, because some of our understanding in the worlds that we've grown up in isn't really a biblical understanding, and therefore it impacts negatively what the church should do. It's very, very central to God's purpose. Secondly, we're seeing a great, healthy kind of inflow of great people. We're always excited. We're not surprised by that. God planted us here. Val had a vision. She's up with the kids. I've got her to tell you numerous times of hundreds, if not thousands of people. Right while we were singing, worshiping the Lord, walking down this street, just packed with people, and they're all going nowhere, and they all didn't know where they were going. And she was really broken up in tears on the day, and for a week or two later, every time she thought about that, because it was really something from the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to her, that's why you're here. That's why the church is here, to show those people where they need to be going. And so we have many, many hundreds of people that we want to reach and touch and impact and bring them to an encounter with Jesus and give them a great church to be in. And so we need to understand what church is. And the other thing, of course, is that we're seeing all these fabulous people and really, I mean, great people that God is adding to us. And it's important for you guys as well, people that are maybe connected more recently, to understand a little bit about what church is and how we would perceive church and the spirit and the anointing that's on our church, because that'll help us to become what God's called us to be. Because how many people realize, you know, it's Ephesians 4 that said that my job, minister's job, is to equip the people, train the people to do the works of service. Are you with me? You're going to reach people I can't reach. And if each of you can reach 10 people, and then in the life of our church, which is probably around 100 people, then we can reach 1,000 people that way. And my primary focus then becomes to equip and to train people to reach the people that are around them. And that means that your understanding, your gifting, your calling, and to understand leadership a little bit. I'm going to go into some of these things in more detail in the ministry training college we're doing, which is open for every single person, new believer, new member, old member, it doesn't matter. I've designed that especially to help everybody, and that will be really important, because developing leadership is vital in terms of reaching the people of this town. How many understand that? So we want to start a connect group. It won't be too long before we'll have 5 or 10 connect groups, I would think, in Staines and then in other places around the place. That's the direction we want to go in. But in order to have connect groups, you've got to have a leader of a connect group. And so we need to understand how that functions in the life of the church. That's my Tracy. That's my introduction. So let's have a couple of things, and I'm going to teach you a little bit. Some of the scriptures are up there, some are not. Be ready, and let's go, and let's have a look. Here's the foundation of the church and why it's important. You might know this. Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember that? Who do they say that I am? And up to this point, and we're halfway in Matthew, Simon gets this revelation. You're the Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't this reveal this to you. The Spirit of God revealed this to you. Father God revealed this to him." And he said, "My Father is in heaven." There it says, "And I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." So what do we know? We know that Jesus is building his church. We have to understand what church is, but we can see that's what he's doing. If you were to go to heaven and ask Jesus, "What on earth are you doing for the last 2,000 years? One of the central things in his answer will be, "I'm building my church." Notice that he's building it. We can co-labor with him, and if you follow me on Twitter or read some of the e-thoughts and things that I send out, and a little bit on Facebook, sometimes I do that as well. I use that slightly differently. But I've sent out a thing recently talking about, you know, the job of the church, the job of the minister is not to try to grow the church. That's a real mistake. But it's common in certain circles in the church, and I grew up in a situation where that was common. But it confuses people. It's not the job. Jesus grows the church, but we can co-labor with him. So he's building his church. It's built upon a rock. The rock is not a person, Peter. The rock is the revelation of who Jesus is, and then the revelation of who Peter is. It's those twofold revelations, and I'll teach that a little more another time. But that's the foundation. And then notice the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So some versions say hell, all darkness and all hell will try and come against the true church, what I would call the true church. The true church being those people that Jesus is building together. And I'm not trying to be too finicky about it, but do you know what I mean? The company of believers. And hell might try, but hell cannot beat the church that Jesus is with. Which is why it's so vital for you to understand your role and your connection in the church. Because some Christians get life completely beaten out of them. And things go from, sometimes they follow Jesus and it's going worse now than it was when it was beginning. I know, I've been around long enough to know that. Why is that? One of the reasons is you've got to stay rightly connected to the church where the victory over hell is. Are you with me? All right, let's go to the next one. And this is my favorite snapshot of the New Testament church. So we're not going to teach extensively. You might have seen it before, but let's just read it through together. These are the 3,000 people that received Jesus on that particular day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is eating together rather than communion, and to prayer. Those four things, they devoted themselves. Everyone say they devoted. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. That should be a normal part of church life, but still people are in awe, which is cool. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, let me just say quickly right here before you get too concerned that this is descriptive rather than proscriptive. It's not telling you what you're supposed to do. It's showing you what happened. So it would be erroneous, and I'm sure there are some leaders who have said you really should sell your houses and bring the money at the feet of the apostles. But that is, and that's not a wrong thing to do that, obviously, but it's wrong for leadership to suggest that that's what you should be doing. It's a reaction to what God was doing in the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then every day, this is where it's important. Every day they continued to meet together. Everyone say every day. They broke bread. This is talking about eating. They ate together in their homes. And ate together, there it is, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. People really favored them. There's always going to be a few people that are negative, and the more God moves, and believe me, God is moving, the more God moves, the more you're going to hear, the devil will try and find some voices, some people to make a fuss, to make an accusation, to create a problem, to create a website devoted to why what you're saying is not true. And I'm not aware of any such websites yet, but they'll come. They'll come. There'll be websites saying Paul Van Essen is teaching this. It's wrong. You shouldn't do this. And I'd be far from the first. So don't worry too much about that. But understand this, that the people, and these are the people in the city, the people favour them. They love them. Are you with me? And when you guys, our church, you walk around, we walk around Staines, we do stuff together, people just like us. Karen and I were in Staines yesterday. We were just visiting. We met up with one of our beautiful people, had a cup of coffee. I went into Costa. I know Joe, the manageress at Costa, who's going to have a baby in 3 months. She's there like this. So I say hello to Joe. Joe say hello. They like us. So they do little things for us. She makes me a nice coffee, you know, and she notices the swirl that the new guy in there is doing, the new barista. And then we walk down to the markets here where there's Miguel. I've told you before about Miguel. One day I reckon I'll get Miguel at church. Miguel's about 65 and he sells all the cotton and the sheets and blankets and all that. That's his thing. And the first time he met me, as soon as he found out I was a minister, he was dead set against me because he's a complete atheist, hates God. But he loves me now, gives me a big hug, says hello, because I never let that bother me. You know, people have their reasons why they come to the conclusions they have. And I don't know if they've ever experienced what God's really like. If they met the Jesus I met, they'd love him. And all I can say is you probably haven't met him yet, so let's not let anything get in the way. And so we have a chat and I give him a hug. And then I go to the churro man. You know the churro man? Doesn't speak much English. He's Spanish as well. 8 churros for 2 quid. It's pretty cheap. And I walk past and I say hello and he offers me a free churro. And I say, I tell the people, these are the best churros anywhere in the area, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people just, this is just not me. God's in us as a people, you see, and we have favor. And then notice the last thing. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, the New King James Version says, and the Lord added to the church. Most other versions don't use that word because it's an arbitrary word. But they added to their number. There was this gathering. There were these people. And the Lord was adding to them every day. You see, when people connect with God, they connect with God's people. The two go hand in hand. It doesn't work separately. When I was first a Christian in 1977, so I was very young, right? Everyone say amen. Yeah, yes, yes, Pastor. I received Jesus. I wasn't in a Christian family. And at that time, what I'm talking to you about today was not spoken about at all. And nobody was... And that at that time, it was like, I met Jesus, I'm saved, I'm connected with God. I've got direct connection with God, which is a very true evangelical kind of a position, and it's right. And the church was kind of like very arbitrary. And the idea was that we had was, hey, well, there are people in church and they might be Christian and they might not. And so the church wasn't very important. What was important was that I had relationship with God. Are you with me? And some of you might remember that. Some of you might live with that as a predominant kind of paradigm in your thinking. There's truth in it, but it's not exclusively true. And what you've got to understand is that you're a member of a body. And there's masses of teaching in the New Testament, in several places. You're the members of a body. So if I'm the lungs and I don't join with the heart and the ribs and the everything else, then I'm not doing any good out there by myself. Just a pair of lungs. Nobody's going to pay much attention. And the body becomes dysfunctional because it can't breathe properly. And that's what happened. And that's why the churches... One of the main reasons why the churches over many decades have been less effective than they could be. But now God is preparing his churches for great effectiveness. Are you with me? So they added to their daily dose. And God added them. See? God added them. God just joins people. There's a supernatural glue that joins people to a church. And there's more than one church. This is a great church. This is my favorite church in the whole world. I'm not the church, you're the church. And this is my favorite. But there are a lot of other churches. There are some churches, you and I know them, they'd be better off not to be in existence. Isn't that right? Not being mean, that just is true. But then there are lots of other churches that are doing wonderful jobs, so we're not the only church. But God adds people to a church, a particular place. So this idea, well, I'm a member of just the body of Christ wherever. My brothers and I have brothers and sisters in the Philippines and in USA and everywhere else, and we're all members of the same body. That's really a completely non-biblical. You can't see that there. They're eating in each other's houses. They're meeting together every day. They're devoted together to the apostles' teaching. They have someone sent to them that they're... Are you with me? All right, let's go to the next one. What have we got next? Oh, the blue blob. Everyone say the blue blob. All right, now this is my best effort at... But this is something that... This is really a vision, and I don't... people think maybe that I get a vision every day, and I don't. But while I was in Walton... In about 2006 or 7, it would have been, I think 2006. That was a vision that I had that really helped me. And so I'm going to explain it a little bit to you. But let me just walk you, whilst you look at the blob, and let me walk you through a couple of things. Christian life. What is Christian life? Because Jesus here is saying, okay, God joins people. They receive him and he adds them to the church. Okay? So he adds them to these people. What's a Christian? A Christian is a person that has believed on Jesus or put their trust in Jesus in a way that they experience life coming from God. That's important to understand that. Let me prove it to you. John 3:16, you probably know that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him... That doesn't mean believe, I believe he existed. Because Satan believes that he existed and trembles. But he ain't going to heaven and he's not a Christian. So it's not just believing there was a Jesus. The word believe means to trust, to put my trust in. It's an opening of your heart to receive him. And then it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. The Greek word, anybody? My niece's name? Zoe. The Greek word is Zoe. And Zoe does not mean I'm going to live in heaven forever. Zoe is life force. Everyone say force. There's a force of life that comes out of heaven into you. That's eternal life. Whoever believes in him has eternal life, has a force of life coming inside of him. Now, it's the idea that I believe in Jesus, then I'm going to heaven. That's what that means. It's not what it means at all. It means that you receive life. Now, let me read you another one that confirms exactly what I'm talking about. And this is John chapter 20. Listen to this. John, you know John, great gospel. And at the end of everything, he does this. Jesus did, this is verse 30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But they are written, but these are written why? Why did you write this whole gospel, John? Ever wondered why he wrote it? Listen why he wrote it. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. It's the same Greek word. So the whole point of the gospels is that you put your trust in him, and when you put your trust in him, life flows. And in that life comes healing. And in that life comes confidence. And in that life comes wisdom. And in that life are the gifts of the Spirit to you. And in that life comes the call of God, what you were made to do. And the more of that life that's flowing in you, the clearer you become on what you were made to do. When Christians aren't sure what they're supposed to do, many times in this Western culture here, where we're very what we would call Greek, we're very academic, we're pretty intellectual, many times people think, well, the answer is I need to study more, I need to learn more, I need to read another book, I need to what? And that can help, but it is most certainly not always the answer. Why? Because the answer, because you're trying to figure out your answer in your head. And that's only a piece of you. The life of God doesn't flow through your head, strictly speaking. It flows through your spirit. It's revelation. You start to know some things. You start to know sometimes you'll do something wrong and you'll think, and you'll get into the typical mental mindset, oh, I've done the wrong thing, oh, I'm all sinful, oh, all that kind of stuff. But sometimes on the inside of you, you'll know, actually, that's not really a big deal. You shouldn't worry about that. Then there are other things that maybe you do, and you haven't thought that they're much of a deal, but actually on the inside of you, the Spirit of God, the life of God will tell you, don't do that. And you think, it can't be that important, really. You see what I'm saying? So this life flow thing is crucial. That's what a Christian is. Now, the more you have, so my job becomes very important in terms of I'm a channel of life to you. That's what a minister is. A minister is a server. Remember, I did that thing a few weeks ago with chocolates, didn't I? Remember, have I got some chocolates today? Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. And as a matter of fact, I think I have here. Can you open up a packet of these for me, Ian? Those ones will do. The dairy box will be fine. A good minister always has chocolates. This is one of my 10 rules of good ministry. See, everyone's smiling now, Bianca. Everyone's happy now. This is me. What I really want to get to them is the Word of God, you see. But a little bit of chocolate helps it go down. There you go. All right, so a minister is a server, you see. I bring... Now, these chocolates are nice, but what I bring is much better because it's the life of God. If I don't bring the life of God, I'm not much of a minister. I might be a really nice person, and that's okay, but my job function, like a teacher's job function, is to educate the children. You can be a really nice person, but if those kids don't get educated, you're probably doing the wrong job. Are you with me? So it's the same with the minister. My job is to bring something. Now, these are nice, and my job is for you to receive. Anyone like you, you're practicing that, but you've got to be a good receiver. Now, some people will be so humble that they will say, oh, no, I could never take it. You ever notice that? Oh, no, I would never. No. Good, Martin. There you go. See? There you go. Boldness always receives. You see? Any other takers? There we go. Look, the hands are going up. The hands are going up. Any other takers? I'm not going to the back row. You're too far back. There you go. Oh, there you go. There's two left. Any other takers on there? Oh, there. See, boldness. See the boldness? The hands shot up. The people that got it were the people that were bold. Sorry, Felicia. Hang on. There's another box in there. Can you get the other box out? There's actually several boxes, but I want the same one. There you go. No, we don't need to open it. I'm going to give the whole box to my dear mother here, Felicia, because she missed out. There you go. God bless you. All right. That's all right, darling. No worries. All right. So, see, now the people that got... Did you notice the people got it are the people that are like, yeah, I'll have some. Okay? That's how God is. That's exactly how God is. And some Christians are so like... Oh, I better not. Oh, I better not. Wouldn't it be selfish for me to say, I mean, what about the people next to me? What if they don't get it? And your thinking is all wrong. It's all very, it's quite British. It's very polite. It's good to be polite. It's good not to go into somebody else's house, right, and go straight to their wine rack and find the best one and say, can I have this? That's not good manners. But when you're dealing with God, it's good to receive. He wants to give. I am indeed. Nicely editorialized there by Martin. Life is like a box of chocolates. And you get what you take. Are you with me? Okay, so my job is to serve, and the people that are eating the chocolates are the boldest ones. They're the receivers. They got past their mental problems. Perhaps I shouldn't. Is this the right thing to do? Will I get in trouble? Will he give me a bill at the end of the service for the chocolate that I... Is there like some protocol I'm missing here? Have I been here not long enough? I'm a new person here. Maybe I shouldn't. All that stuff goes through your head. If you just forget all that and say thank you very much, God will serve you. Are you with me? That's exactly how it works. So my job, you see, is to become a server of God. Now, to bring his presence. Now, the church. Everyone say the church. The church, that's you guys, that's us together. The Greek word there is ecclesia. Everyone say ecclesia. And ecclesia means this. Now, there are quite a number of commentators, and I'm teaching a little bit this morning, aren't I? There are quite a number of kind of educated biblical people that are annoyed that the King James in the original and then other people since then have used this word church because they made it up, and what most people think the church is a building or a location. But that's not what the word means. And so some people actually say they should never have used that word. I would say it's the same with baptism. They should never have used that word. They made it up. They should say immersion because that's what the word means. They should have just stuck with it. But that's life. Everyone say that's life. Yeah. Anyway, so c'est la vie for the French. Yeah, that was impressive, wasn't it? Multilingual and everything. Okay, so ecclesia means this. People that are called out, an assembly or a congregation, a gathering together. It has the implication, almost the same word is used when you're talking about a civic group. But in the context of church, what it means is we've got the world, everybody doing what everyone's doing, and then in your work or in your church, or in your school, in your community, in your street, there is you and maybe some others, and they've been called by God. The connection point is Jesus, but they're called to one another. And that gathered out community that meets together, did you see it in Acts 2? They have food together, they gather together, they met in the temple. That's the church. I'm not the church. A building is not the church. A Sunday service is not the church. A series of doctrines is not the church. Signing on the dotted line is not the church. The church is people called out together. And it's community. We do life together. Now, it's vital that people understand that, because in my circle, in my paradigm, for many years, the idea of church was a great Sunday service. And I value that, and that's it's an important part of it, but it sure ain't all of it. So you can be in a great Sunday service and not really be all that you should be or could be in a church, because there's Monday to Saturday. So who are you Facebooking? Who are you having coffee with? Who are you hanging out with? Who do you call when you need someone's help? Thank you, bro. Got some good movie people here. See, and that you can't see if I legislate it and I say you've got to call people in the church. That doesn't work either. It's all about a life flow that flows together and a community that's built around that life flow. Is that understanding? Makes sense. So the blue blob, let me explain to you what that is. That's a very rough diagram of Staines or any town. That's where we happen to meet. But I did my best. This is supposed to look more or less like an octopus, this blue thing. So what you've got is all the black streets. They're all the streets, and that's very approximate. Obviously, it's very approximate. But then overlaid over the streets is this blue blob of life. This is the vision that I saw. And so it travels down these streets, you see, and it pulsates. Everyone say pulsates. So it's kind of like an octopus. It's alive. And during the week, in the vision I saw, the arms are extended out into the community. So we go into the streets, into the homes, into wherever. But we're pulsing. And then on Sunday, in our case on Sunday, but whenever, there's also this gathering together where everybody comes into the middle. And then we go out again during the streets, and then we go in again. That was a vision I saw. That's a helpful for me of what the church is. Amen. Why? Because we're in the community, number one. Number two, because the central meeting point is important, but it's not the definition of a church. Number three, it's important because all those blue bits, those extended bits, are never disconnected. So even if you're down in Laylam Road, or you're down in Raysbury Road, or you're down in wherever, in Ashford, down that way, that you're connected with other people. It's not so much about a geographical connection. Are you with me? We're overlaid down. But we're connected, and you don't want to lose that connection. And then the connections pull in together on whenever we gather together, and then they go out again during the week. That's what the church is. Is that helping you? Do you understand? I'm trying to, because it's really important that we understand what the church is. It moves in and out. It touches all the parts of the city. And now in our case, let me tell you one other thing. Actually, let's move from that. No, let's go. Let's go to the next slide. And now I want to talk to you about a minister. What's a minister? This is another one of my diagrams. It's a little bit small. Can you see it all right? And I want to explain it to you. Watch, because that's important. See, there's God in heaven. And I've written under there, you can't quite read it, but it says a rainbow of colors. So I'm using colors to kind of express a particular anointing or a particular gifting that God gives to people. Are you with me? Now stay with me, because there's a little bit to this, and I've done the best that I can with that. There's a multitude of colors. Now that in that case, there's the minister, and that's true of any church. And you can see that the colors that are coming from heaven there are mostly yellow with a little bit of blue. Okay, that's a particular anointing that God gives. So in that case, if we're talking about me, I'm a minister, then I'm called by God to function in that role, and I would say that my giftings are strong in the apostolic and prophetic areas, and you can't be strong in every area. So in the pastoral areas, evangelism and teaching, even though I can do those things, they're not my primary thing. And with that, we could do a whole teaching on that. We don't have time for that. But the thing with the apostolic, and this is not about, well, the Bible says first apostles. That just means that they laid the foundation. That doesn't mean that, you know, all the prophets need to bow down to all the apostles and all, and that doesn't mean that at all. You can be a pastor with a lot more spiritual influence than an apostle. Are you with me? You've got to understand that. It's not a pecking order thing at all. But for me, but I'm colored with a certain color. And that comes out in what I speak, what I say, the manner I carry myself, the kinds of miracles that happen, the emphasis that I teach from, all comes out of this flow of anointing or life that God has given me. And that's just His choice. I don't have a lot to do with that. But I know that the apostolic will be strong. The apostolic has a smattering of other gifts, which is why I'm okay at pastoring and I can teach and we get people saved. But that's not, you know, if you listen to J. John, that's someone who's an evangelist. His whole heart beats with that. I can do that, but that's not what my heart beats with. Are you with me? So now God colors every minister differently. And that's important to understand. And my job is that life, which has a particular color, a particular flavor, I get that. That's why for me to preach, to tell you the truth, I've preached for 20, 30 years nearly. And so for me, the biggest issue is not preparing a message, because I've got enough messages and enough information to keep you all going until you die. The thing for me is to pray so that life flow is strong, so I hear what God wants to say to our people today. And when that happens, like it happened with Carrie this morning, because we talk about all these kind of things, then the people respond, because life is flowing, because you're catching something from heaven. Are you with me? So you catch something from heaven, and then my job is to pour that out here to the people. Okay? Now, notice this. This is very important. This is the evangelical Protestant side that you have to acknowledge. Of course, it's very important. You have your own connection with God. Of course you do. I can't draw every truth in one picture. But we're not for a minute denying that every one of you has an important personal connection with God and that God speaks to you. But what we've done in overemphasizing perhaps the Protestant side at the expense of the Roman Catholic side, the Roman Catholic side would be very strong on the padre. So their perception of I have a direct connection with God is low, but they will have great trouble believing what the Bible says if it's different to what the padre says. They'll tend to go with the padre because they have a stronger understanding of that side. Now, they're both true, so you don't want to play off one against the other. But in understanding church, you see, what you've got to understand is that a significant proportion of what God gets into your life comes through the minister that God puts on your life. Over your life. Otherwise, what's the point of having a minister? Why did God send them? Why did God say, obey your leaders? Why did the whole apostles, prophet, why bother? Why having a teacher? If you can read the Bible and figure it all out by yourself on the internet, then why would God send somebody that teaches? If you can take care of yourself, make good decisions, make sure you know exactly what you're doing, you don't need anybody to guide you or shepherd your life, then why would God put pastors in the world? You see what I'm saying? And we've played one hand too strong This is me and God. And people then get in a mess because they do need shepherding. There are things that you're going to face that you don't know what to do. And I'm supposed to have enough connection with God to hear from God, to bring into your life something. Now, that isn't always intellectual teaching. That can be in that color, in that yellow, can come revelation of wisdom. And so I'm speaking and you're sitting here and what I'm saying, you might be writing notes that are on something completely different because there's a life flow going on and you're catching that and that's answering some of the problems. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, don't neglect the gathering together. That's why I'm keen, and we're not forceful people, but I'm so keen that you just get devoted to being in the house of God because you need to meet these people. You need to hear this word because your life is not just, you know, if you have a job on Sunday, you have stuff or you have difficulty getting up. I know what it's like to have difficulty getting up. Trust me, I do. I really do. But listen, I just want to encourage you that it's going to help you tremendously. Some people, God's got answers for them and they're not getting the answers because they let other things that are really less important than the church take too much time out of their world. So are you with me? All right, come on. We've got to get towards the end of this. So now, go back again because I want to say it one more time. Yeah. Okay, so notice that life flow then flows into the people of Staines, into the people around you. The more life I catch, the more I can pass to you. If I have a load of chocolates like this, everyone will get some and more than enough. And that's what you want, spiritually speaking. And whatever you catch, you can pass on. Now, it's possible to be one of those four people there in the church and not catch anything. It's like being a rock in a river. You know, you've got this flow of life, this flow of a river, and you can be a pebble at the bottom of the river and you can sit there for 10 years. But if we take you out and break you open, you could be dry as a bone inside. Because you never let the life get on the inside of you. Now, that's important to understand. You've got to be a soaker, a receiver. You see? It's good for you to think about what I'm teaching you. It's good for you to... You should have your own thoughts. You should feel free to go to the scriptures and think through these things and chew through these things. You should understand this, that it's highly unlikely that everything I always say is 100% true. Not because I'm a liar, but because I know what I know. And I don't know everything. And some of the things I say now would be a little different to what I might have said a few years ago. You see what I'm saying? So what we tend to do is, we think, well, the church, you know, what do you... We get into this kind of mindset. Okay, if we accept what you're saying here, Paul, as far as how the church functions, then we're receiving from you, then what if we don't agree with what you're saying? Well, that's good for you to think through that. I would tend to suggest that probably I'm right and probably you're wrong, but I'm teasing. Your intelligent thought, some of you are going to bring things in that are going to colour and change us a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm not like... not listening to what people say. The problem is this, that because then people think that, and then the alternative to that is, well, either we have to accept everything you say, or else then we're in a position where we can, you know, question what you say, and you're really asking the wrong question, because what a church is not so much about the information, it's about that life flow. Okay? Do you perceive the life flow? Does God speak to you? Do you perceive divine connection? Is your heart, is there something that beats in me, that beats in this place, that beats in you as well, where you come here and you feel that feels right? That's what you're looking for. And it may not be, it won't be for everybody in Staines. It won't be in this church. It'll be other churches. And I don't have any problem with that. That's where when ministers get to the mindset of I've got to have everybody in my church, I've got to build the biggest church, that's where that's a problem. And I do not hold to that kind of thinking at all. But I know this, you see, when God divinely connects you with other people, not just with me, but with everybody in that flow, then our heart beats together and it makes sense. And when our hearts are unified, that's where the power is. That's what the church is. So it doesn't matter if there are one or two things of relatively less importance that you don't quite see the same way or that you might necessarily... Don't let that become a bigger issue than the flow of life. Are you with me? Because where the power is where the connection is. It's a bit like a marriage, kind of, in this sense. Not entirely, but in this sense. That, you know, if you're a husband and wife, you flow together. Now, if a wife has to buy into the idea that everything the husband says is right all the time, you're going to have trouble. And vice versa. It's just, I mean, we're people. We're just not right all the time. But the point is this. Is there a flow of love and care from that man towards you? If there is, then work with that and don't let little differences of opinion. He, you know, he likes his shoes here, I like my shoes here. Don't let little things like that get in the way of the flow of life. Are you with me? So this life flow is important, and then it flows. The more I can catch that life, so like I said, you can catch nothing. You can be here for 10 years and catch nothing because your heart has to receive. And I can tell, one of my things is I can tell, when I start praying for people and healing happens, or when I start to prophesy over people, all that stuff, that happens because people open their spirit. They open their heart up. And I can feel that straight away. And I can also feel if people haven't. And I don't mind, I'm not against you, I just know that I can't do very much for you. And as a minister, I want to give you as much as I can. You know, if I had a kilo of 10 kilos of chocolates, I don't want them all myself, I'll take a few. But my joy is to give them away. And it frustrates me when I've got someone sitting there and I've got this chocolate and they just won't. And it's not that they're mean, it's not that they're evil necessarily, it's that they haven't learned to open their heart up. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. Could be hurt, they were in another church, the minister hurt them, didn't work out right, whatever. Could be unforgiveness. Kate, you know, touched on that, just like mentioned it this morning. It's such a big thing if you haven't forgiven people. It blocks your receiving thing. See, and so doctrine and teaching is important, right? Teaching is important, but it's not number one. The number one thing is the flow of life. Are you with me? And now you could, over that picture of the blue blob we have, you could have a yellow blob as well, which might be another church in Staines, and a green blob, and they'll all have a slightly different flavour. The key is find your flavour and get in there. Are you with me? All right, we've got to wrap up. Let's go to the next one. So this is my job. Christ gave himself apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the people for the works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. I've kind of touched on that. Let's go to the next one. And this is important because this is central to my heart. And I want you to catch this. This is my heart. If you want to know what drives me, and it's important to know what drives me because I'm your minister, pastor, this is it. He is the one who we proclaim, Jesus. We admonish, which means to correct. I try not to do it too much. But apostles have that thing in them. They want people to mature. Admonishing, or the apostolic gifting has that. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ works in me. That's really what makes my heart excited. To present everyone fully mature. So now I've been in churches. Let me touch on this. I've been in churches where I've heard more tithes and offerings messages than you have ever in your life all put together, probably. You know what I mean? I've given to all kinds of things. And there's a difference. Sometimes people are receiving tithes and offerings because I want you to mature. Other times people are receiving tithes and offerings, finances, because they want to build the biggest church in town. And it takes money to do that. Are you with me? And sometimes, and I don't want to be critical, but I want you to understand, sometimes people have what I might call mixed motives. They can be genuinely called by God as a minister. That's a different matter. You can be genuinely called by God, positioned, anointed. You're supposed to be a funnel of this life and revelation that comes. You can come, Gracie, if you want to. Yeah, that'd be great. You're supposed to be that, right? And that doesn't mean that your motive, you have to determine what your motive is. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same with when I pastor people. If I talk to people I've been in church situations in the past where basically the mindset is a lot like this, and Owen will understand this because he helps us with our pastoral care, and so will Lou and Carrie. And they'll understand this, that they approach people in terms of, well, we haven't seen you for a few weeks and we better phone up and get in touch with them because we don't want them to leave the church, because we want lots of people in the church. Now, that's a mixed motive. Are you with me? And I have to be very careful about that. And I would say that in my 20-odd years of ministry, that there are times when my motives have been mixed. And I think that probably every minister goes through that. But I've made a very strong determination in my heart. So if I phone people, I haven't seen you for a while or whatever, or that our people phone you and get in touch with you, the object is not, you've got to be in our church. The object is to present you mature before Christ, to be everything God called you to be. Now, bringing tithes and offerings, forgiving people, connecting during the week, being in the house of God, all those kinds of things, that's all a part of that, but it's the motive that's important. You understand what I'm saying? I think I've got one more thing I wanted to show you, our vision. So I talked about the church, and now I want to finish off just in 3 minutes about our church, what our church's vision is, because it's important to understand that. See, we run, not every church has the same vision. And my job is to interpret what I believe God wants me to do in the earth. So we make a mistake. A church minister makes a mistake if they find out all the time what the people want and then decide that's what they're going to do. That's not going to go anywhere, because I was designed to lead. And people need the security of somebody with integrity leading that's hearing from God. Are you with me? But then again, a minister can try and be an all-encompassing. Well, we do everything. You know, we reach the downtrodden. We have the Bible college. We have a school. We do this with children. We do everything. Nobody can do everything. You can have your hand in a number of different areas, but there are certain things God calls you to do. And to be clear on that's important, because here's the thing. For you to be fruitful in your life, do you want to be fruitful? Have a great life. Psalm 133 says this. It's beautiful. It says, where the brethren or the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, that's where the anointing flows. And it says it's like the oil that was on Aaron's beard. I think it's Psalm 133. And it flows down from his beard, and it flowed down his cloak and all the way to his feet. And you've got this anointing oil that God, I showed you that kind of in the picture, you know, that yellow thing with blue. You've got that anointing oil. That's what a church is, where that life is. And for you, so you're called to do things that I'm not called to do. You're as much a part of the church as I am. I do have a particular role. It's an important role, for sure, because I'm responsible for your lives spiritually. But I am not the church. I can't make you be fruitful, and I can't stop you from being fruitful either. I can only do the best I can to serve the chocolates God gives me. You with me? And who'd rather be in a church getting served chocolates and vegetables? I mean, anyway, you need your veggies as well. My wife will make sure of that. But you see, you've got to, for you to be fruitful, God called you. My job's to equip you to do stuff, to talk to people, to reach people, to lay hands on sick people and get them healed, to have people in your home, to maybe to feed them, to meet together. Maybe your gift is encouragement, to encourage people. Maybe your gift is kind of a prophetic revelation thing, to bring words to people that encourage them. Maybe you're good at just at financial advice. You're just really good at that. And you can really help people make a sense of the mess that they're in. You've all got different gifts, and they're all important. Maybe you're starting a business, and there could be 10 or 20 other people in the church in the next couple of years that are going to start a business. But you've done it for 10 years. You're important. I can't advise you on all those things, but I can bring that life flow. And in that life flow is where that's the anointing thing in Psalm 133. Now, for you to be fruitful, whatever body you're in, you've got to catch the same spirit that's flowing down through me if you want to be fruitful. That's how it works. That's what Psalm 133 is talking about. So what you don't want is a dilution of that anointing. See, and that's what happens a lot in churches, and that's why they become less effective. There's a certain anointing. I can't do everything, but I'm anointed with a certain thing. And you may not understand everything I say. You may not even see it quite the way I see it. But the point is this. Is there a life flow here that your heart beats with? Because not only for us, but for our future, that's what we want to do with Staines. It's one thing to reach the 35,000 people. I did some calculations this week. It's 35,000 in five wards. I'll teach you about that another day. 35. It's one thing to reach all them, but they may or may not, and they probably won't, all be in our church. And that's okay. Maybe part of my anointing and our colouring as a church is to be able to reach people more effectively than some other churches do. Don't be critical of other churches. Do what you do really well. And help people to find where they fit and where they connect. Are you with me? Because your future, see, because there's that oil, there's power in that oil. And I'm the guy that's called the head. You know, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. So in this function, that's me. And I have a role in stuff like that. But you can catch that same oil. But if you come in with your own, not with a different mindset entirely, but just with a different spirit, with a different, we do things a certain way, we don't agree with the way things that are, you've got to find a place where whoever's leading does things in the way that you feel that's right. Are you with me? I'm not trying to chase you away, by the way. But I just want you to understand how I approach church. And so, because God will join people to us. I know that. And I'm not afraid, not nervous, I'm not threatened, I'm not insecure. I'm just happy to be who God's called me to be. And that's why I can say these things, because I know some people will think, oh, well, no, we love you. We want you in the house of God. We have certain distinctives that are very us. We're very warm. We're very positive. For some people, we're just too positive, you know. Well, then find a place that's a little bit more negative if that's what you want. But you see, the thing is this. You've got to be fruitful, you want to get under that anointing. That's where the fruit is. And that means you've got to position your heart to catch the same thing that's flowing down. Because unity is the place of power. And what happens is you will find that your effectiveness and your life for God goes like that if you get your heart positioned, not because I'm so great, but because God has given me something and you're catching the something that God's given me. And so you'll end up functioning under that anointing, and that's what a house is. And we don't want to, you know, I've got other friends, minister friends in this town, and I would say exactly the same to their congregation because I want them to flourish. But they'll just have a different flavor, a different anointing, a different, you know what I mean? And when you understand that, you see, sooner or later, I'm going to say, and I've got to come to a close, sooner or later, I'm going to say something that's going to offend you, if I haven't already. Okay? Or I'm going to send an e-thought that you think, my goodness, where did that come from? Or something's going to happen. Or maybe one day I'll turn up in a 7 Series BMW and you'll think, well, where did he get that from? Or maybe I will pay attention to your spouse that walked in the door and I didn't kind of make eye contact with you. And I know the devil and he'll try anything. He'll try, yeah, well, he doesn't like you. He's a bit keen on your spouse. He's a bit keen on your husband, you know. Maybe there's a problem there, you know. I mean, the devil will try anything, truly. You see, but when you know that there's a life flow that you're partaking of, that helps you see past relatively minor things because the devil will always try and disunify. Are you with me? So the issue is not so much do you understand everything, do you have all the your doctrines perfect. No, the issue is get in with the life. Jesus said this, he who believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That's where the life is. That's where the confidence you're looking for is there. Are you with me? So our vision, just to close, our vision is this. Our vision is very simple. To build together with God and the most amazing, but then I thought it's a bit unfair. Because there could be other, you know, it sounds a bit like, I don't want to be like that. So a most amazing, that's really in me. Local church community. I put that in because a church is a community, not just a building. That serves and empowers people and glorifies God in Staines and the entire surrounding district. That's what we're here for. That's not going to change. And then I've got our mission, which kind of goes hand in hand with that, comes down to three simple things. And really the first two are the most important. Number one, to care for, build up, and faithfully lead all those people entrusted to God by us. And that was what I was talking about this morning. That's number one. Number two, to effectively present every person in the Staines area with the experiential love, grace, power, and presence of God. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's what we're all about. Everything we do, whether we decide to have coffee this way, not the long service, short service, three services, one service, kids upstairs, kids outside, you know, I wear whatever, whatever we decide to do, it's all going to be driven by that. And if it doesn't become, it becomes ineffective in doing that, then we change it because that's what we're doing. The third thing is important to me. I believe that's something that, to have remarkable church gatherings of the demonstration of the Spirit. That's just me. I just really believe God wants us to do that. That's a piece of who we are. But you see, that does not override those other two things. This is not all about, oh, Paul was here, brilliant, fantastic. You know, sometimes I'm not going to be here. Sometimes Carrie will be here. Sometimes in a couple of weeks we've got to be away in Australia. I'm ministering at a church in Australia. And then I am also in Australia at the same time as my father turns 80, which worked out really well. So I'm going to be there for him, and I'm preparing some stuff to say, some nice words and all those kinds of things. And so I can't be here all the time. But you see, if you're going to church because we're going to hear what Paul has to say, that's nice. I like that, okay, and that's okay. But that's not really, oh, we're not going this week because he's not there. That's not where it's at. You with me? There are other good people in our house, and I want you to rise up. And other people, some of them will say things that I don't say or will touch you in a way that I don't. And I don't have a problem with that. I want as many people as possible to rise up and be. I'd be happy for this to be our ministry, full-time ministers convention. And we just send you all out. Are you with me? And so, amen. That's enough. Does that help you? Is that okay? I've gone a bit over time. Does that surprise you? Don't look at